Good afternoon. Hi, it's Rob. Who's on?
Hello, Rob. This is Trent.
Hey, Trent, how are you?
Doing well.
Hey, Rob. Tyler's
Good.
on too.
Oh, good. Hi, Tyler. Well, I was a busy morning. How about you guys?
Very busy.
Yeah.
They're all busy.
That's good. It's good. It's
Was
good.
out last week. Actually went to Nashville for 3 days. Wednesday, Thursday,
Oh,
Friday,
fun.
Saturday.
So it's still
Spring break.
there? I guess there was an article in the journal on Nashville today.
Oh. No, I haven't seen that. Have you
Yeah.
started construction?
Oh, yeah. We should be pretty close to being done.
Great.
Yeah. So they said March, so it's April. That means they're probably pretty close.
You got a few more. You
Hopefully.
got a few more months.
Yeah, exactly.
Construction add 50% to the estimate typically. Much of the time, but I'm sure they're efficient in a city like that. I was surprised by so much construction.
It's just amazing, right?
I've never seen a city with so much construction of that density. It seemed like there was a crane on every block in the downtown area. Or an
Yeah,
area I went through
there.
down there. It was a lot going on. It's a good sign.
Well, it's a hot city for music. It's a destination for every bachelorette party in the country, I think.
Right. It's the new Vegas.
Right.
East
And
of the Mississippi.
then you've got, good taxes and a city that wants business. So it's like, wait a minute. They're not kicking us out like they did to Amazon? No, they're actually want business.
Right. Crazy idea there.
Crazy idea. And then
Yeah,
people
we stayed
wonder
at the.
why it's doing
It
well.
worked. Yeah, tax policy works. We stayed at the Opryland Hotel, though. It's much nicer than it sounds. Very nice place up there. And they have a water park that the kids loved.
Oh, so you went there as a family. Nice.
Yeah, we went there as a family for vacation. Spring break, where you can just drive there. Didn't take the full
So
week,
that's,
took Wednesday through Friday. That makes it nice.
how was the weather?
It was decent. I think it was nice the day we left. But the interesting thing in that resort is you don't leave, so we didn't notice the weather. There were 2 days where we barely left the resort.
So it's indoors then.
Yeah, pretty much self-contained. They have these huge atriums. It's worth visiting when you're there sometime. They have these gardens. They have a couple of nice restaurants within it.
Right.
But similar to Vegas, like the Venetian or some of those places that open up, has atriums with gardens. Very unique, very nice.
You know, the best time to go down there is around Christmas. They do
Really?
unbelievable things in those atriums around Christmas. And
Really
you You know, you kind of get, I don't know, that time of year, you just kind of want to be outside and be able to do stuff. And the atriums are so big and they've got so much foliage that you kind of feel like you're walking outside. And it's, always 70 degrees and you got waterfalls. And I mean, they do it all, but around Christmas, it is just gorgeous.
And then connected to the hotel is a brand new water park with slides. It's the most extensive water park I've seen. And they try
Wow.
to keep it Hawaii weather, so it's like 82 degrees, humid in
That's
there.
awesome.
They make it feel like Hawaii. I was glad I had my Fitbit because I got about 40 flights of stairs each day, going up and down to the
Well,
slides. It was an active vacation. Very nice.
oh, that's good. Going up and down the slides. Cool.
Yeah, climbing up the steps. It was a fun time. That's an endorsement for your city, your new city.
Yeah, I guess the journal compared it to Memphis and some of the challenges, that they have there. I haven't read the article, so I don't know. A client just brought it up last hour. So what's on your mind, and what questions do you have today?
Oh.
Trent, you want to start with it?
I haven't been
Maybe.
on we're still in, well, we're seeing the payoff now of a lot of the, I'd say, patient cultivation that Tyler's done over the past 2 to 3 years has started to pay off. So we've started to see some momentum. So as a team, we're starting to hit more of a norm, finding our norm and starting to perform as a team. But it's still pretty bumpy, still just capacity, trying to improve on that. I think the FAs have improved, but the CAs are still a little bit overwhelmed. So for the team, we are starting to see a better flow, a better rhythm. Tyler's really, what is it, about 10 households year to date?
Yeah, we should be at 10 right now. Yeah,
it may not be 10 total households. Some of it is you get double points or you get a more than one credit for certain households. So we're seeing good momentum there. And we've had a couple of clients we've been able to partner on to move on to another advisor, lighten up the capacity somewhat. The specific question still is always all about growth. The closing ratio, we were talking about that today, Tyler. You think we're really improved on that in the last 6 months, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think it's just kind of we're all telling the same story, which is helpful. We've got a pretty darn good process. And so even when we lose opportunities, I feel like the opportunities we've lost lately, like one of the ones we lost late last year would have been a great, it was like $2.5 million household. But his wife, I guess, had really a really close friend through church that ended up, they got the business. But he said that he wanted to come with us. And basically we caused some friction in the marriage because, you know, that he thought we were so much better, even though they knew these people so well. And that was from a cold call. So something like that, even when you lose, that's kind of good to hear. You know, you're kind of on the right track, I guess, with the process and what you're doing.
Well, and, you know, the process is bulletproof in the sense of when you do it right, 12-4-2 and the rest of it, you end up, you know, just checking back with them in 6 months and see how things are going. And
yep.
At that point, they may be ready to move to you guys.
Yeah, and that's what I usually do. I've actually brought in 2 households this year because of someone that went somewhere else and followed up with them. Like, actually, I called them a year later, and they said, yeah, it hasn't been great, but we're kind of still sticking it out just seeing. And they called me before I had my alert come back up. And they move their account in and a referral.
Wow. That's a great story.
So that was good.
And they're happy now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, every call, it's just like, wow. Like, the thing that the wife told me was she just kind of felt like she was on an island, I guess. And in, like, the 3 months we've worked together, we've already met more times and talked on the phone more times than they ever did with their other one in 2 years.
Yeah.
So for her, it's just, I mean, through the roof on the trust gauge of, you know, and it seems like lately I keep hearing the same thing, you know, it's like the husband's pretty savvy, pretty well could handle it, but who does the wife call?
Exactly.
You know, and so that seems like that's come up a lot lately of, you know, I could handle this myself if I really needed to, but my wife couldn't.
Well, that was, you know, it's an important closing line, and it's a fact, you know, it's really a fact.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
It'd be good to get your take on the Merrill Bank of America dynamic. How we deal with that properly.
It's irrelevant.
Just that's been our mindset, is we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And if it's right for our clients to have a mortgage or a checking account, we'll do it. But we're not going to change our business model to click a box for them.
No, that's...
And it's going to be a great company. They've got a great platform. So I don't want to be too Pollyannish about it. It just... whistle by what could be a potential problem. So what's your thought, though?
Well, I'm not sure I know what the problem is. I mean, if they I think they want you to check some boxes in order to get a higher payout or something. And
exactly. It's a payout cut, especially for the younger advisors on the team. The team grid is a major benefit.
So usually when you're doing the right thing, it all works out, right? It's like people didn't like when we had, you know, CMA contests because it was an aggravation, you know. It wasn't part of their business. So we had to convince them that CMA actually helped their business. It didn't. It wasn't a distraction. And because they did it, they did more business and they consolidated assets. So anytime, you know, there's a product or service being suggested as part of the process, or they want you to open up more accounts, or, I mean, it serves the greater good of the company, and you just have to figure out a way that it fits in with what you're doing. I mean, I always said, people said, well, I don't want to open up, you know, 10 CMA accounts, 10 small accounts. I said, don't open up 10 small accounts, open up 10 big accounts. You know, so if you guys got to open up so many accounts, well, good. You should be anyway. And
right. That's what we agree with. Go ahead.
Yeah, they should be bigger. You just open up big ones. That's all.
Yeah, we agree with the flows. And that's how it's been for about 10 years now. It's been based on flows, on net new fee-based. And they call it strategic assets. The issue with what they're doing now is it has to be a Bank of America checking. So if someone has all of their checking through Merrill Lynch, that doesn't count. If it's all working perfectly and it's all good and it's all fine.
That's why you have a lobbyist. That's why you have a regional director.
And a loan. So,
I mean, your regional director is your senator. And when there's something wrong, you lobby that senator to get things fixed.
And so we'll take it to them.
And say, you know, we don't grouse about things, but this is annoying, and it's wrong, okay? It's annoying and it's wrong. So get it out of our way. That's your job. Your job is to be our senator, to be our representative. Go do your job.
Get it out of our way.
Right. Get it out of our way. We're doing business. Don't make the firm look stupid.
Yeah. And Kyle made a good point this morning of what if that hits the Wall Street Journal? Then Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, forcing their advisors, or not forcing them, but heavily incentivizing a retiree to take out a loan instead of pay cash for something because you're going to get credit and a payout increase.
It's a Wells Fargo thing. You got Wells Fargo just replaced their CEO because they were incenting people to do the wrong thing. Do we really want to be in the Wall Street Journal that this is the headline?
There's a banking executive coming Thursday for a town hall meeting. Unfortunately, none of us have time to go. We're all too busy meeting with clients. Time to go meet and ask him the question.
Well, send your manager.
Yeah, we meet with her regularly. We'll talk to Brooke about it, see the best way to proceed. I'm sure she's hearing it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, tell her what you want to tell him and have her stand up and tell him. If she doesn't have the guts, then tell her to get a new job.
Can we tell her Rob said so? No.
Yeah, tell her. I said that.
Says Rob.
Rob says if you don't have
for
enough guts, right, to tell some stupid banker what the hell's going on, then get a new job.
Yeah.
The biggest
surely
problem
they'll
I
walk
have,
it back.
Well, the biggest problem I have with leadership is no courage. They're all afraid of their jobs. Who cares about your job? It's just ridiculous. I never cared about my job.
Do the right thing and it pays
game.
Off.
I liked the game. It was a good game. It was a fun game. It wasn't a job. I was a senator. You know, it doesn't last forever, but when I was there, I had fun. And I was never afraid. Stop being afraid. Everybody's afraid. I don't know.
Good. So that's your take on that. Thank you.
That's it. No fear. Stop being afraid. Tell them what to do. They don't know what to do. We'll
Rob,
get you more revenues. You know, we'll Sorry. Get you more revenues. You do your job, we'll do ours.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Rob, I've run into this a little bit too lately. It seems like, well, I'm actually onboarding a new client this week, and just kind of curious as to how you would, you know, I think I've set a good expectation, but how you would approach this. So essentially they're firing their current advisor because basically they've called him numerous times over the past few years and just kind of wanting to talk about the markets and feel like things get frothy and, you know, what, you know, just looking for advice on whether they should rebalance or do anything. And it seems like his answer every time is stay the course.
Yeah.
And it's no changes whatsoever. And so they got pretty frustrated, especially in, you know, September, October, when they call him and say, hey, I think, you know, we might want to take some chips off the table. And he says, stay the course. And it's, you know, they're not looking for perfect timing. And he pretty much said, you know, I don't expect you to be perfect all the time, but he just doesn't want somebody that's sitting back and doing nothing every time. How would you approach that? You know?
Well, Trent and I have talked about this extensively.
Yeah.
But Trent, why don't you tell him what I said?
Well, you need to have some activity in the accounts and have something of interest to talk about, to be not necessarily actively rebalancing to a specific asset allocation, but making smart moves in the portfolio, constantly improving the quality of the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And do it within the context of the 1242 calls to have something to discuss a recent change that we've made, especially if it's a discretionary account. Just let them know the changes we've made. Let them know something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it did I cover, Rob?
Well, I think you can use cash. I mean, in many portfolios, the equity has way outweighed the original asset allocation model, and now we're at 90% equities and, you know, 2% cash. So there is a time where, especially in retirement accounts where there's no tax cost associated with it, where you can raise some cash and say, you know, things are really good right now. This is when we raise some cash. Okay, and we'll use it to deploy when things are really bad. We don't do it a lot. We just do it periodically.
And you mentioned that's actually why you need an advisor, that we need to offset the client, basically, when we overcompensate.
Right, they're ready to go on margin. They're ready to go on margin, and you're telling them to raise some cash.
And
then when they're then when they're ready to puke and they want to sell everything, you're using the cash to buy and are really excited about great bargains that are available at very inexpensive prices.
Sure.
Okay. So you don't have to do a lot. Remember what we did? We shorted two stocks, right?
Yep.
And I told you that I was Rob's way of sacrificing himself
the sacrificial lamb.
For the market, right?
For
I
the
went
cause.
To the mountain. Right. I went to the mountain and sacrificed myself to the gods. And And did it not turn the market, Tyler?
It did. It did. We appreciate you.
Right. It was perfect timing. So Rob just needed to do something to get rid of the pain associated with the silliness that was going on. So human beings are that way. Recognize it and help them by giving them, throwing them a little balm to make them feel better that you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, you know, you can write options when there's, you know, markets are expensive, and then you can cover them and hardly have any options covered when things are cheap.
Yeah,
so you
and,
can,
and my
you
thought
can
too was,
things.
I mean, just as simple as, you know, moving from, instead of even going to cash, because they're going to be retiring, so their income's going to, you know, cease, and they've saved up enough to where the dividends and interest from the portfolio will cover their lifestyle. So I don't really want to go to cash because all of a sudden that income stops. Even if we get it right, you know, then we're, you know, we're liquidating or spending something. So my thought is go from stocks to munis, just to kind of keep that income stream going.
Sure.
And
yeah. And in a retirement account, you can, you know, you could go to, you know, try some high yield stuff for a while.
Sure.
You know, I'm not a big fan of high yield, but it seems to be we're in a slightly different environment where we're getting high yield is not cheap by any means, but it corrected quite a bit. And so it was cheaper than it was. It got very expensive. You got some good things happening event-wise. You know, some of these companies are improving their balance sheets. Some are not. You know, so.
I was reading an interesting research piece the other day that showed, kind of outlined as high yield muni as being one of the best fixed income asset classes, because its default rate is so incredibly low, and believe it
right.
or not, high yield muni is still inversely correlated to the stock market.
Yeah, I mean that's a good story. You know, even if you went in and bought Puerto Rico right now, you know they've turned a lot of that around. Not that I would recommend that for you to do.
Yeah.
But you know, for a speculator like me, maybe that, you know, there was a point where those bonds were pretty cheap, and you know they came through and are going to pay.
Sure.
But certain ones, anyway. So there's always a story, right? There's always a good story, you know.
Yeah,
and
so, I like the point you've always made, Rob, about clients want to feel smart. So in
they want to feel smart. You know, if you're
we
taking
talk
some
about
cash,
the smart things we're doing within the portfolio, even if they're not actively managing it, show
right.
that we're making it. We're looking at the environment. We're assessing things. And Tyler, I love what you've done with these seven indicators you're tracking weekly. Is it seven or six?
It's seven of them, yeah.
Seven.
I've had some great conversations around those.
Absolutely. It's been great on all conversations. We're tracking this right now. That's one lesson when we looked at the fourth quarter of we want to track these indicators weekly. And the same ones that told us not to sell in December are right now saying the market's fairly valued. And if it goes to bubble territory mid-year, then we'll have a reason to pull back and go more so to cash. Right now it's showing things around fair value. Is that right, Tyler?
Yeah, right at it. And you know, it's kind of one great thing about those indicators, too, is even though we're not making a ton of changes because everything's kind of showing it's pretty moderately valued, you know, for 3 months I've been telling the same people, you know, hey, we're kind of right where we need to be. You know, future growth is going to be based on earnings. And, you know, I think just last week somebody said, you've been telling me that for 3 months. And I kind of pulled those up and said, well, here's why. You know, look, this is kind of the changes that we've seen over the last 3 months. And all of a sudden they want to go over those indicators every call now, you know. And so it kind of gives a little bit of context instead of us just kind of sitting on our hands. This is why we're saying let's pause, I guess.
It's a really important point. I mean, when you guys told me that your technical analyst decided that, you know, he was going to 50% cash, and that was the first time I heard it, that was a little upsetting for me. Okay. I think it's
that was on CNBC, is that right?
I don't remember. I heard it somewhere. Anyway.
Yeah,
and
it was out there.
And when I heard it, it was like, what the hell? You know, and oh yeah, we've had this cell signal on for quite a while. I'm like, what the hell? You know, that's what you don't want to have happen. You don't want anybody from Merrill saying something that is, I mean, it was fine. The Morgan Stanley guy was up there telling everybody the world was coming to an end. So that was okay. But when Merrill, you know, when Merrill confirms it and says, yep, the world's coming to an end, we want to be 50% cash, I was like, Kim told me. And I was like, what? What? Where did this come from? You know? So you can't do that. That makes me feel dumb. And so, you know, just from a personal point of view, I understand where the guy's coming from. I don't want to hear everything's great every time. I want to hear, something that says I know what the hell's going on, and this is where earnings are, and this is where, you know, these are our 7 technical indicators that we're using. Earnings are still hanging in there. We're watching them because we're a little worried they're going to be weak in the first quarter and so forth. So, you know, just tell me a good story, right?
Mm-hmm. We'll be like the Fed, data-dependent. We're data-dependent, flexible.
I think it's data-dependent. And remember, people can sell in retirement accounts, and there's no taxes, okay? So you can make a few mistakes by taking some profits. It's okay. Whereas, you know, you can't sell Apple at a $40 cost basis in a regular account, but you can in a retirement account. So think of it as one big pool of capital, and you know, the cash that you raise can be in the retirement account, and that's okay. That's good.
And we were able to at year end do some gifting at lower prices for some families in a couple of cases. So did you?
Yeah, that's really smart. If you're going to do, it's like when we did our grat and the market was in the tank, and we did the trust for the houses. We did that when the market was in the tank. So, you know, whatever years ago. And so those are smart things to do. That's what you render your mind. Remember, here's something I had to remind my some clients about. You know, one of the things that I think in chapter 6 of the workbook, we talk about, the 10 different ways that you saved your clients money. That should be on every call. There should be an idea of how we're operating as your agent to save you money on every single call. And you've got probably 12 different ideas that you can come up with.
Mm-hmm.
One for every call. Oh, by the way, just to remind you, you know, setting up that grat back, you know, 5 years ago when the market was there, that was a smart thing to do. The value of the portfolio has doubled, and so forth.
Right.
You know, setting up that QPERT for your real estate was a really smart thing to do because, guess what? The real estate has appreciated by a third or so. Okay. So, you know, everything from, you know, just our credit card advantages, right, of no ATM fees and all kinds of little things you can write down for tax savings ideas. That's a great exercise for you guys to go through. So what are all the different ways that we save you money, right?
Oh,
tax
yeah.
Saving. I mean, it's brilliant. But you don't remind, you know, clients want So how are we making the clients feel smart today? That should be like on your agenda. How did we make the client feel smart today?
We've had a lot of success lately gathering assets with the with the BlackRock Money Fund. That's at 2.3%. Just even though we don't make anything on that,
yeah,
letting clients know that it's a way you can make money. $500,000 sitting in cash, then here's $12,000 a year that we can make for you just by keeping it liquid in another account with no fees. So
that's pretty
forward.
Good, isn't it? What is the, what is that? You got to have what, $500,000 or what?
$100,000. It's like the old ready assets days. $100,000. It's hard to believe it's 2.3% though, and it's that competitive.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, that's definitely, that's strong. That's close to T-bills. With complete liquidity,
yeah,
without having to roll and buy
the
treasuries.
Our big advantage there is the money market's actually open to anybody on the street, but it's an institutional money market. So anybody
mm-hmm.
else that doesn't go through Merrill, it's a $3 million minimum.
Oh, wow. I don't think my brother knows that.
Yeah, 2.32 this morning. Last week it touched 2.39, but that was kind of, I think that was an anomaly. I didn't expect that to happen or stay.
I'll give you his number if you want it.
Sure. Trent, do you want me to call him or do you want to, it's Rick, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got his contact, I believe. Let me see. Yeah, feel free to call him, Tyler. That'd be great.
Sure.
It's 781-635-7337.
781-635-7337.
So, yeah, just tell him I told you to call.
Yeah, I'll tell him you said it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Well, maybe not quite that good. That was my dad's expression.
Oh, yeah?
All the time.
Everybody tells me I'm an 80-year-old stuck in a 30-year-old's body.
Good. Really important. So what did you think of Jennifer Kupcho's performance at Augusta?
You know what? I was kind of upset because I wanted the other girl to win. What was her name? Rossi,
yeah.
So I am good friends. So she works with a guy named Dr. Bob Winters. Do you know that name at all?
Yep.
So Dr. Bob is a Ball State alum, and he works with a bunch of tour pros, and he's like a sports psychologist. And so I worked with Dr. Winters a little bit when I was playing, but he works with her as well. I always get her name wrong. She plays for Arkansas. She is an unbelievable player.
Yeah, Maria Russo. Yeah.
So I was rooting for her just because of that connection. But that was it's pretty cool. This is my favorite week of the year. It's a good one.
Isn't that amazing? I have a ball signed by Jennifer Kupcho from, because you know, Wake Forest, of course, and.
Oh, yeah.
She's a great ball striker. She's amazing. The men's team just won their fourth tournament, and they're ranked third, I think, now in the country.
Where was that at? Where'd they play at?
They played at Augusta. They played at the
gotcha.
Same place that they, the Forest Hills, where the
yep.
women played. They played
yep.
it on Sunday and won it.
Yeah, I've got some good friends from Illinois that played. I think they played in the same tournament.
Pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
A guy, one of the guys from this island's grandson is he came in second, and he had not played that well. He's been on the team and he's been good, but he hasn't been that good. And
that's pretty strong.
Yeah, he came in second.
One of my favorite things this week is, and Rob, I don't know if you do this much or get a chance much, but if you have the Masters app, Monday through Wednesday of this week, on there you can watch live the pros hitting balls on the range, just practicing. And you can pick up so many good just little tidbits just watching what they practice and how they practice, and I mean everything.
I'm getting better. I'm getting better, Tyler.
That's awesome.
I watched the kids hit in the Sunday morning for the drive, chip and putt thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, you can learn a lot from their swings. They're so fluid, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're fearless.
You know, 7-year-olds just get out there and just completely turn themselves into a pretzel.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to watch. Anyway, so I've been taking lessons since January. One a week, and I'm better. I'm not good, but I'm better.
That makes a huge difference.
Getting more distance, getting cleaner swing. It's just a big, huge difference. You know,
well,
not decelerating and all that. So, Club Championship this week. Thursday, Friday.
Two-time defending champ. Are you a two-time defending champ? Is that right?
two-time defending champ. Going for the third.
Uh-oh.
So, I know, that's hard. It's hard to do.
That's awesome, though. But when you start taking lessons like that, that's huge, because your practice all of a sudden is a lot more meaningful. You go out with a purpose instead of kind of searching.
Right, right. And he's been so good about just keeping me on track, getting me back. You know, I usually play on Saturday and then take the lesson right after I play. And so it's so helpful, because I've just been beating myself to death out there. And then he straightens me out, and it's like, it's so wonderful, because then I hit it good again. I played Sunday and played great. I mean, I hit the ball really well. So
yeah, it's amazing how simple it usually is, too. You feel so lost, and it's, you know, one tweak or something.
Right. It's just so crazy. And you know, and it's just things I know and I've been told over the years, but just hearing it again and then visualizing it and then having the videos and the whole thing, it's been good. It's been really good. So it's a big deal. It's wonderful. So Robbie's a happy guy going into the weekend.
That's awesome. So I think good luck.
Yeah. I'm hitting it further. I was hitting a 7-iron into the green instead of a 3 recovery, you know.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference. God.
Well, if you get up here around Indy and have some time, we'll have to play again this year.
Yeah, we'll be up. We'll be no nibbles on the house yet. We're we'll see, you know, what happens, but
yeah, what did you guys list that?
Where?
What did you guys list it for?
I think it's around, it's like 750.
You guys will get, somebody will bite on that then. I mean, that's a pretty good little number around there. You know, sometimes it takes a while once you start getting seven figures just because the right person has to roll along, but staying right around there.
Great location.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's, you know, I'm prejudiced, but in the spring with the weather, you know, the grass all green and everything, it should show really well. But
yeah,
so we're not going to
just heating up.
Yeah, we're not going to run home to, you know, until because we don't want to be there while they're showing it and everything. It's easier to show it when we're here. So we'll stick around here for a while.
Yeah.
We need to get Tyler down there to play golf as well. Get him down to Boca Grant.
Well, that would not be hard to do. You wouldn't have to talk me into
that. Tyler, why don't you come down? I mean, come on.
I got a baby coming in August, so I can take a little baby moon.
That's yeah,
what dads
really
do nowadays. They take a baby moon.
That's a pretty good deal. I never was allowed that, but I think
it's a work trip. That can be arranged.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd love it.
Yeah. You know, figure out a good weekend. We're pretty, let's see, we're going to be here through May. So,
oh sure.
You know, most people leave at the end of April. So, you know, we'll be here through probably. We might even be here through June.
Yeah, no, that'd be perfect.
I don't know.
Are you waiting to give more time to get Nashville in order?
Yeah, get, I mean, we're not going to move to Nashville until it's ready, and we're not going to come home while the house is being shown, so we'll just stick here until something frees up, one of them frees up. We're going to spend a week in Nashville with Courtney. She's heading for someplace. I got to go to a wedding in Sweden or something. Anyway, so it's pretty fun. So just, you know, if you want to jump on a plane, I think they have that. What's that? Allegiant or something like that? It's pretty cheap.
Oh yeah, Allegiant. Mm-hmm. They're doing a lot of direct flights now.
Sure.
Yeah. You should come before everybody leaves here, so you and I can team up and just thrash them.
you need someone
talking
to beat on the golf course before they all run off.
I've always told people I am not ashamed to show up in like some cutoff shorts and like an old staff bag and say I'm like a 5 handicap or something. That's not out of my range.
Right. And just we'll just go and just slap these guys I play on Saturday mornings are just brutal. You know, just slap them around silly.
They need it.
It'd be lovely.
I'd love it. Play them for their investment account.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, in the meantime, while Tyler's brought in all these accounts here today, he's taken on, what have you taken on, about 12 households from Kim and I since the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
That's nice.
So
you've covered more of that.
How is that working? Is that a distraction, or is it helpful, or are you raising more money from them, or what's it? What's the net to you, Tyler?
No, it's been good. I mean, I think it's still in motion for the clients because it is still pretty fresh. I mean, we've only been kind of the transition's only about 3 months strong, so there,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's, Trent and Kim did such a good job. There's a pretty strong allegiance there still to them, but I think they're starting to get comfortable with, you know, if something comes up, that, you know, they know I'm familiar with everything too, and you know, they ask for me or Trent or me or Kim, you know, so it's good.
About,
you know, phase two is definitely gonna. Yeah, it's
How
good. That's not, you know, I mean, 12 clients, you're talking 6 hours a month. I mean, that's that's not anything outrageous, especially when you break it up, you know, at half hour chunks. That's pretty darn doable. So that's what's great about that model, is it's so scalable.
Right.
So,
and it's helped us so much. I know on the other side, it's been more work for Tyler, but it's really freed us up. We notice the space.
Yeah.
Now.
No.
Or
no,
I have.
Great for me. It gets me used to, you know, what the 30-minute calls look like and what they feel like, and, you know, like anything, you got to practice it. And so it just kind of keeps me fresh, keeps me on my toes.
Good, good. Anything new with Centers of Influence or Mastermind Group or any of that?
Well, I have gotten involved with a group in Indy, Citizen 7. It's like a men's group, faith-based group. And through that, I've met some people where we've bought a building. And I've become part of the leadership team with two Lilly retirees, a guy in his mid-30s who owns a tech company. So I've gotten into a group, a mastermind group of sorts, and we're actually making investments. It's not an overt referral network. It's more, I'd say, missional, and it has led to conversations, has led to assets yet. Well, actually, the Harrison Center brought in the cash they got from the Lilly Endowment last year, so I guess it did lead to some cash assets, but a lot of relational goodwill and a lot of strength coming from it. And I'm more involved in the symphony. The book club is going on this spring, and we've had a record turnout for that. 16 people ordered the book. It's Bad Blood, about Theranos.
Yeah.
So that is going really well. That's how we've filled it so far. And there is an accountant I'm having breakfast with every quarter now. Does a lot of nonprofit work. I'm meeting with one on a regular basis as far as the center of influence. That's where we still definitely have work to do, of finding the right growth tools. And it was interesting, I think a couple times ago we talked about, looking back at my notes, identify where we all thrive, of where we all want to work more toward within our daily routine, which gets down to time with clients. and it is all enabled and helped by sharing the clients, by sharing the work, by basically Tyler helping us so much is what's helped us be able to do that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had a client, you know, a guy that's he's rough around the edges, but and he's, you know, he's struggling with Supernova, but he's doing okay. You know, I'm only in week 7 with him, and but he has got a client, a CPA that he's had for 25 years that gives him a lot of business. So he really understands centers of influence. And you know, he's got an estate planning attorney that is okay. We're trying to get him a new one. I mean, the estate planning attorney business is a real struggle.
It is.
Because they just don't seem to have the same mentality as the CPAs. But you really need to have a CPA that's sending you an introduction every month. That you deserve, and that you, if you don't have it, you deserve it, and you should have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he has. I mean, and that's what Tom Buck had. That's what, you know, the best that I've seen all have that. And you got to get it. I mean, you deserve it. If you don't understand it, if you're not getting it, you know, you don't understand it, and therefore you just don't bother with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see it, you know, I see it because I get the view of all these different producers, and it's just not fair. You know, it's just not fair to you guys that you're not doing that. It's just like, wait a minute, these guys aren't half as good as you guys are, and they're getting a referral every month.
And it's the process we've spoken of treating them as a client, putting them on 1242, meeting them with them on a regular basis.
Well, they all become clients. So you're doing that, yes, and plus, it's like meeting with an accountant quarterly is okay, but if it was really a good friend, you'd love to meet with them once a month for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're your friend, right?
Right.
So, you know, quarterly, you're bound to get one or two introductions. If you meet with them monthly, you're probably going to get 4 or 5 introductions.
Yeah. Yeah, we have one on the calendar, the CPA that I have met with. So this will just be our second time meeting. But we have common clients that we have that we both work with, and we've got a lot in common. So I could see this one working into that.
Rob, here's kind of a funny story.
Dipping our toe in the water, it falls into that important, not urgent category. So we just did not get to it. But it's like you say, it's free money. It's like money sitting in the corner waiting to be picked up by cultivating the relationships. That's a good reminder. Thanks, Rob.
I've got a business account that I'm working on bringing in right now. And so I work with the owner of the business as my client. So I met with his CFO last week and found out he's getting a divorce. Well, then a couple of days later, I've got a friend that's a paralegal that said, hey, I've got this client that doesn't work with anybody. And, you know, would you mind if I have her give you a call and, you know, set some things up? And after I called her, I put the connection together that it was the CFO's ex-wife that the CFO I just met. So I'm going to be working with both sides of the equation.
Wow.
Nobody's going to know any different. But I thought that was kind of funny. Small world.
That's a riot.
Confidential.
Yeah, it should be easy to do the quadro, you know. I have the IRA already. Just move it from there right over.
Right. Yeah, that'll be easy. That's a riot. That's so funny.
But
all right. Well, I got another call, but you know, force yourselves to you know, develop this model, and don't forget the enthusiastically endorsed question to teach them how to get you introductions. Go back and read. I hope you're reading the Supernova Multiplier. Have you read it?
Not yet. Well, I will by the next time we speak. I'm going to read it and have a review on Amazon by the next time we catch up.
And Tyler, how about you?
Nope, I'm getting Kim read it, so I'm getting her copy when she gets, she's out of town right now. I'm going to get it when she gets back.
You're allowed to buy your own, you know.
I know it. I know I am.
They're on sale. They're available for retail. Okay.
Right. They're commercially available on Amazon and on Kindle.
I got to buy in bulk, I guess.
Okay.
Has it gone Audible yet? Do you have the audiobook?
I've got it's being recorded as we speak. I'm having it professionally done because my brother said, "What? You're going to record it? How long is that going to take you? You don't know what you're doing. You hire somebody." You're always telling me to hire professionals. So he got me. So I hired a professional.
Value of a brother.
Sure.
I know.
Give
all right, brother.
I'll give Rick a call this afternoon, too.
Yeah, do. He's vulnerable. He hates the team he's working with, but that's who he used to work with. And they are giving him no service. He's paying no fees. He's getting what he deserves, which is no service. And he's all over the place.
Yeah. Well,
so, just do him a favor.
At least it'll be a good introduction.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I've spoken with him a few times before. Great guy. He's had good instincts, good stock guy over time. You guys did really well on that grad.
Yeah, he's done really well. He grew his $2 million retirement account into like, I don't know, 7 or 8.
Yeah, so that's not a bad deal.
That's not usual, you know. So that's pretty good. All right, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Rob.
Talk soon.
See you. Catch you next time.
Bye. Howard?
Yeah, here I am. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are things going for you today?
Busy.
Busy? That's a good thing, right? Busy good?
Busy good, yeah.
That's good. Glad to hear it.
Thanks.
Yeah, so what's new with me? So actually some good things are happening. Couple of things. Because I crossed the $1 million mark, I made it to what's called the Premier Advisor Directors Council. I'm not sure how much that does for you, but it's kind of nice anyway. You go on these trips and stuff like that. And I should get promoted to Senior Vice President, which that actually helps from a marketing standpoint, right? Better than this. I don't know if we've talked about this yet. If we have, I apologize. But have we talked about this stuff yet? Hello? Did I lose you? I'm going to call back in.